There we go. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
God is good.
All the time
God is good. I look out and I realize that we're missing a few. But nevertheless, we made it. And so we ought to be thankful that he has allowed us to be here. And God will take care of everything else. This morning, the text was read for your hearing. I'm going to call out just one verse out of Galatians chapter 6, and the verse is number 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Let us take a moment as we prepare our minds and get ready to meet the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, you have blessed us once again. You have caused us to wake up this morning. You have caused us the ability to get up. You have given us the use of our limbs, our minds, and our bodies. And we're so thankful for that, O Lord. Father, we come to thank thee for the Church of Christ, especially this local congregation here. We pray and ask you that you bless us and bless the leaders, bless each and every member here, bless their families, bless all of us, O Lord. Father, we thank you that one day you sent Jesus into this world to hang, bleed, and die, not because he was under punishment, but because we were facing punishment. And we thank you, O Lord, for saving us. Father, which art in heaven, we ask you to bless those who might be sick as we pray for them that they might be healed. And if not healed, we pray that your will might be done and that you just give them comfort and support, O Lord. Give us the ability to be there for them when the time is needed. Thank you, Father, for the leaders of this congregation. We pray for them. We pray for all the brethren who have taken part in the service thus far. We pray for our brothers and sisters who might be traveling this day, that they might find peace and comfort on their journeys. We thank you, Father, and ask you to bring them back to us safely and securely. Let them arrive at their destination and then bring them back safely. Thank you, Father, once again for Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Now, my Heavenly Father, as we pray for each and every member in the congregation this morning, we just thank you so very much for everything you do for us. Now watch over and keep us as we move on into this portion of your services. Help us, Father, to do things decently and in order. In Jesus' name I pray and ask these blessings and many others. I am asking them all. Amen. Spreading God's word. We don't have to travel far in our society today before coming into contact with a sign. These signs may warn us of danger ahead. It may be in your local grocery store warning of a wet floor. It may be a warning sign of people working above or road construction or a number of other conditions that may present dangerous conditions for us. In the church today, there are many of us who tip around like there are danger signs and note posted. Signs that read danger and keep out or keep away. Even warning us, this is the way some of us act, even warning us not to get close to one another. Of course, there are no such signs posted in the church, but we can't always tell that by the reaction and the attitude of some of our members. I believe that we need to become more energetic and enthusiastic for God and for his church. Some of us get more excited about Facebook than we get about the church house. Today, as we move into this message this morning, I promise you I'm not going to be that long, but just go with me this morning. We need more energy for God. In Titus chapter 2 and verse number 14, a description of the reason why we need to be full of energy. The text uses the word zealous. It appears in the verse and it tells us he gave himself for us that we might redeem us from all iniquity and purify himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, what does that word zealous mean? Well, it simply means to be on fire for God. Be energetic. Put your whole heart into it. Be full of spiritual energy. That's the kind of energy I speak of, spiritual energy. We find examples of zeal in the sporting world today. We find it in those who are hunting for jobs. We even find it in the stock market. I'm sorry to say that these same people come to church with empty cups, and unfortunately, sometimes they leave with empty cups. Is it the preacher's fault? Maybe. Is it the leadership's fault? Maybe so. But it could be the membership's fault also. So what can be done? Everyone needs to become involved through prayer and self-inventory. We can find some examples of energetic or zealous people in the Word of God. Do you remember Peter in Luke chapter 24 and verse 12? Upon hearing about the empty tomb of Jesus, watch what he did. He ran to see for himself. We need people to become more excited and more energetic about coming to church instead of the attitude, I'll be there when I get there. They seem to as though their attitudes are that of, we are not going to get out any sooner if I get there early, so I'll just get there when I get there. Do you remember Philip in Acts 8th chapter? In verse number 30, the Bible says he ran to the eunuch to teach this man about Christ. Or what about Paul? He was full of energy for the Lord in Acts chapter 20. In verse number 31, he said, for 3 years he warned everyone day and night of the dangerous times that may come their way, that would come their way. We need to learn to help others to understand and know what God has given us. The knowledge to know and to have faith in him. First, we must become more enthusiastic and energetic for the Lord. Stop throwing out vague sayings to people. We don't know the Lord. Instead, telling someone the Lord will fix it, let them know what the Bible teaches about loving him with all thy heart and soul. Tell someone that Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and all thy mind. And tell them this is the first and the greatest commandment of all in Matthew 22 and verse 37 and 38. Let them know that you didn't make it up that is actually found in the Word of God. Yes, I'm saying impress them with your knowledge of the Word of God. Tell them how too they can become a believer of God. Learn to be energetic. See, when you throw out a vague statement like God will fix it, anybody can say that, but let them know, tell somebody where you can find something in the Word of God at. The Lord needs energized workers. We need zeal or energy that keeps us going. You've all seen the commercials for a certain battery company that claims their product will keep going, going, and going, implying that their brand is better than the competitor's product. We need that kind of energy and the kind of energy that Jeremiah had in Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. He said, but thy word, his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. Here was a man to whom the word of the Lord came to before he came from his mother's womb, according to Jeremiah 1 and 5. He found out it was impossible for him to stifle the word. The word can cause men to have a burning zeal to teach it to others. Being energized about God's word will cause one's heart to burn. Get it out. These are the kind of workers that we need for God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 16, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. In other words, whatever the cost, He would keep on preaching. We need zeal and energy that won't let us quit. We need to keep going when others quit. Preachers must become like Paul, even when no man would stand with him. He said in 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 17, the Lord stood with him and gave him strength to reach the Gentiles. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2, he said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Help us, Lord, that we might teach and tell others to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. This is the kind of energy we need, that we will anxiously await his return. Oh, yes. I may as well tell you, Jesus is coming back, and he is coming for his church. Will you be watching and waiting, looking forward for his return? Or will you be like the man who keeps looking back and may soon find himself going that way? So when I look at the text again, the text says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. In other words, don't faint, don't quit, don't give up, just keep going. Don't get weary in well doing. We've got to keep on doing well. We've got to keep on going. When others might quit, you need to keep going. Everyone needs to wake up. Our text tells us to not become weary. So how does a Christian become weary and stop doing good? Well, they sometimes stop coming to the services of the Lord. They sometimes stop supporting the works of the church. And they sometimes become uninterested in working in the Lord's vineyard. They fall asleep, looks like. They stop working toward helping others to start working only for them, and they start working only for themselves. It becomes all about them instead of about the Lord. The second part of the verse in Galatians 6 and 9 tells us, we shall reap if we faint not. Don't stop what you're doing. Don't give in to Satan's trickery. Don't let him plant the seed of discontent in your mind. He'll try to fool you into thinking like him. He'll tell you things like, see, I told you they don't care nothing about you at all. All you do for the church, and they still won't give you any credit for it. See, on the one hand, he'll tell you they won't allow you to work in the church. Then he'll fool you and let you think that they don't appreciate you enough. I say it's time that we all wake up. For time is far spent. The road is getting shorter, not longer for us. The time is closer than many of us think we still have. When we wake up and realize we are really where we're really at, it may be too late. We need to make sure we're in a relationship with Jesus. Not just fellowship, but a relationship. See, a fellowship can become fleeting, can be lost, but a relationship is permanent. Do you remember what Job said in 14 and 1? Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. This is why you need to be in a committed relationship with the Lord, so you can call on him when these troubles decide to come your way. Then you can ask like David asked in Psalms 51 and verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with the joy with thy free spirit. When we are awake, we know whom we can call upon. When we're foggy and half asleep, we don't always have the clearness of mind. Wake up. The time is now to wake up. When your medicine shelf contains more pills than the local pharmacy, it's time to wake up. When you need a pair of glasses to find your real glasses, it's time to wake up. When you can't get up from your chair as easy as you used to, it's time to wake up. When you fall asleep every time you sit down, These are signs that let us know the time is moving on and we need to get our lives together for the Lord. The time to get our lives right with the Lord is at hand. And the time to serve God is while we still can. We don't want to be like the rich man in Luke 16 who wanted to tell somebody about the Lord after he died. It was too late to get, and the time was not right to get it right with God. But the time to get it right with God is while we yet live and are able to let others see Christ in and through us. We need to spread God's word while we still can. We need to be full of energy and on fire for the Lord so that we don't grow weary in well-doing according to the text. Don't just say it, live it. So when we look at that text once again, it says, and let us, that's speaking to all of us, let us not grow weary while doing good. And for in due season we shall reap. Therefore, verse 10, now therefore we, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Sometimes I begin to wonder about that. Sometimes I wonder if most, if a lot of us as Christians realize that we are supposed to treat each other, especially those in the household of faith, in good conscience, and to do right by them. You know, some of us, and I'm not going to call any names because I don't have any names in mind. I didn't prepare this sermon with names in it. But sometimes some of us, we treat our Christian brothers and sisters like we don't know them. We treat them like they don't exist. You know, and I'd like to tell you all about how 25 years ago he stepped on your toe and you still hold that against him. Well, that toe has got a corn on it probably now anyway, so even if he stepped on your toe 25 years ago, no damage done, you're still walking about. So let's stop holding grudges. Start treating one another right. Be not weary in well-doing. So when you think about it, it's time to wake up. It's time to get up and get busy. You know, God could very well take care of everything himself, but he left us down here to work for him when we are a Christian. We're supposed to work for him. We're supposed to be serving him by doing his will. And I tell you this almost every Sunday. When you do the Lord's will, you're doing not what's expected of you. Not that you're being so excellent, but you're doing what is expected of you. That's your reasonable service as a Christian, to do well. And I tell you, when some of us get in trouble, and I don't mean no harm by this, but when some of us get in trouble, sometimes the last place I want to come to is one of my Christian brothers and sisters. Because they're not going to accept it. They're not going to treat me right. You know what they're going to say? They're going to say, I told you so. I told you he wasn't doing right. I told you that he was not doing the things that he was supposed to do. But I'm telling you, when the time I'm in trouble, I don't need you to repeat my life history. I need your help. I need you to give me some kind of words of encouragement. I need you to offer prayer on my behalf. I need you to help me out of a situation that I might be in. And I may not even be asking you for money. But that's the first thing some of us are going to say. Well, he just wanted some money. Well, that's not always the case. Sometimes I just need a word of kindness, a little lifting up when I'm down and out, a little helping me up from where I've fallen to. Sometimes it's time that we understand that God is able. We know that God is able, like we always tell people. But how is he able? Do you know how much farther to go than that? Go to the Lord in prayer. Teach a person how to ask the Lord in prayer for whatever it is they need. Teach a person to say, thank you, Lord, sometimes. See, a lot of us don't say thank you, Lord, enough. We don't say thank you, Lord, until we sit down to break bread. Then we say thank you, Lord, for this food. But other than that, we don't think about all the things that are going on around us. If it's raining outside, thank the Lord for the rain. If it's snowing outside, thank the Lord for the snow. If it's sunny out, thank Him for the sunshine. But all we do is complain, and we complain all the time. Some of us, we don't like it because it's too hot. We don't like it because it's raining. We don't like it because it's cold. Well, what do you like? So I ask you this morning, don't grow weary in well-doing. Keep up your goodness. Keep working on someone to get them to come to church. And I know with some of us, our first line is our families. We've got to get our families in the church with us. We've got to get our friends in the church with us. We've got to get our relations and relationship in the church. When I consider that, how good God really is. Have you considered how good God is? Do you think that you got up because you were so pretty this morning? Do you think you got up because you were so good this morning? Do you think you got up because you had a new suit to put on this morning and everybody wanted to see you in that new suit? No, you got up because God woke you up, opened your eyelids, and caused you to get up. He nudged you early in the morning and he said, wake up and get up. It's time to go to my house this morning. And you should have been here. You should have been here for the Bible class this morning. It spoke from the book of James. And I'm not going to tell you what it spoke about because you should have been here to hear for yourself. But what I am going to say to you is that all of God's services are important. Now, unfortunately, as I think about it, I went to a funeral last Friday, and the preacher said, and it disturbed me, the preacher said, you don't have to, if once you're saved, you don't have to go to church. Now, I didn't know him. I've never heard him preach before, but that just goes to show you what some people are teaching out there. Now, my Bible tells me that if the doors of the church are open, where am I supposed to be? I'm supposed to be right there in the assembly. Isn't that right? Now, I don't know about where you come from or what your learning is, but my learning tells me that I can't serve God in spirit and in truth if I don't go to church, because this is where God is, in the church house. This is where God established. He died for this church. He died that we might live. They stuck him in his side, and out of his side came blood and water, the price of the church. Isn't that right, church? So I tell you this morning, don't grow weary in being good. Don't grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. In other words, you've got a reward coming if you just faint not and you do the will of the Lord. Just hang in there. And I know for a Christian, times get hard sometimes. Times get rough. But you know something? We have God who we can always call upon. Isn't that right, church? We can call upon God anytime we need to. That's one of the privileges of being able to have a Heavenly Father who listens to our prayer, who hears our prayer. And I know what somebody might say, God doesn't hear all prayers. Well, God hears everything. So that's not an excuse. So with that said, I'm going to suggest that you not grow weary in doing well. I'm going to suggest that you stay doing the good things that you do. Keep right on serving the Lord. Keep on going in your service to the Lord. Keep on, just keep on. When things get tough, you continue to serve the Lord. When things get troublesome, you just keep on serving the Lord. When things seem to be fill you up, you just keep on serving the Lord. When you know that everything seems to be going against you, you just keep on serving the Lord. When things are piled up higher than this building, you serve the Lord anyhow. You just keep on serving the Lord. The Lord's service is the place to be on Sunday morning. And when you got up this morning, if you entertained the thought of not going to church, you need to ask yourself why. Why did I not think of going to church? I'll tell you why. That old adversary of ours, the devil, was trying to work against your going to church. He'll tell you it's such a nice day outside and the church is going to be hot, or the church is going to be too cold, or the church is not going to be right, and you have to sit there with all those other folk. Well, that's all right. You just keep on sitting with the other folk. Just keep on going to church. And I know sometimes we say that church gets boring, Brother Jackson. But I'll tell you something. I think it's more boring to be sitting at home than to be in church. Why do you say that, preacher? Well, simply said, because all you're going to do if you're at home is watch TV and eat some more. And if you eat more, you're going to start to get bigger. And then you're going to start scratching your head saying to yourself, I can't understand why I'm gaining all this weight. So you just keep on doing good. You just keep on coming to church. You keep on serving the Lord. You keep on coming and being with your brothers and your sisters and do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. And if you don't know the household of faith, I'll tell you, you're in it right now. Just keep on coming to church. Keep on serving the Lord in spirit and in truth. Just keep on. Linda, how you doing? Good to have you come forward. I guess I'm going to call for the, give the invitation now since one has walked up already. You know, she's showing energy. She almost ran up. So this is my example. Thank you, Linda. This is a good example. You just keep on doing good and not grow weary in doing good. I promise you I wasn't going to be long, and I'm about done now. But I like the example of those people who ran to see about the Lord. How many of you ran to church this morning? All right, I got a couple of hands. All right, if you ran to church, you're doing well. You're not growing weary and well doing. And I tell you something else. When you get to church, were you excited once you got here? All right. Now, you know, there's a story I like to tell from time to time, and I guess I need to hear it again, so I'm going to tell it again. Because one day you're going to die. And you're going to be buried, most of us that don't get cremated. So this man was walking through the cemetery one day and he spotted a tombstone. And on that tombstone was these words. It said, don't be afraid to follow me because soon you'll be where I'm at now. And the man took his pencil and wrote on there these words. He said, I won't be content to follow you until I know which way you went. So what am I trying to say to you? I'm simply trying to say, be careful of who you're following and come to church and not grow weary in doing good. Stay with me this morning. I'm almost done. I'm just about finished. I'll be letting you go in a few minutes. The Cubs don't come on till 12:30, so I got a little time. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying, stay with the church. Stay with your brothers and sisters. Stay with doing good. Stay with the Lord, for the Lord is our shepherd. And we've got to stay right with him. So if you're here this morning and you need to come forward like Linda, you can come forward now as we together stand and come forward. You can come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But if you're already a member of the body of Christ, you just come forward if you want to say something to the church. You ask the church for prayer. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
584. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portal, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me.
Okay.
Come home, come home. Calling for